Good morning. You can see I haven't even showered yet this morning. I started with my devotionals and now I'm giving you a devotional and it's first thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak through the internet to people who may not even know me. And I do pray that you'd lead and guide me in the things that I say today. I pray that you'd help me to honor you and help people in their Christian walks. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I had a couple verses in mind this morning, and I'll read those first before I say much about them. John 4:44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And then John 4:47, when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. John 4:47. I'm going to preach Sunday on a broader portion of this passage and say a lot more. This kind of is a preview to a Sunday sermon. And these two verses had a big part in what eventually will be. My sermon's not complete yet, but this is something I'm thinking about even now. John 4:44 says Jesus himself testified that a prophet, and Jesus is a prophet, priest, and king as the Christ, has no honor in his country. And when he says no honor, I think what he is referring to there is prophet honor. You know, when we look back at the Old Testament and we look at Elijah, you know, he's the one who called fire down from heaven. That kind of thing gains prophet honor. These dramatic things that we say, well, ordinary people, they can't do that. And, you know, well, we have a pastor and we've had him for the longest time and he's definitely not Elijah. And that's what a prophet in his own country is like. He's somebody you've got familiar with. He's somebody you know. He's somebody that is the boy next door, and he's not Elijah. And so Jesus was that prophet in Galilee or in Judea. There's some confusion here or some uncertainty about which one he was a prophet in his own country in. And I don't want to get into that. I probably won't even on Sunday, but the thing is, the point is, in other places it says, because he was in his own country, there was not a lot of faith. There were many mighty works. The miracles, the great miracles weren't done there. And I think it's because he had become old hat. He's the boy next door. He's, you know, how can he even do these things that he's doing? And then they didn't believe him for what would come. And I think that's a major problem for us today, especially in America. Christianity is old hat. We think we know it already. Even non-believers, they know what Christianity is. They need new religions like the New Age movement and things like this. There's something that's old and familiar and therefore it's put down because of those reasons. And Christ is even put in that position. Not just by non-believers, but sometimes by believers not believing that he or the Bible can be the power that Scripture says they are. And then I got to the second part of this passage. It's still, I believe, one passage because John often contrasts things. And the title of my message, I'm pretty sure Sunday will be The Point of Death Prayer or Point of Death Praying. And that is because of this second verse, John 4:47, where it says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, this is a nobleman. Most commentaries, and I agree with them, say he was under Herod or in Herod's family, and Herod was extremely corrupted. This man is probably a corrupt politician. He's probably not the one you would say would be religious or righteous or holy, and yet he had heard something about Jesus. And at this point, Jesus hadn't even done a whole lot of miracles as far as we know. And yet he believed, or he was desperate. His son was at the point of death. And some of us have been in circumstances like that. We're at the point of death. We're at a point where there's nothing else we can do but pray. It's sad that prayer is the last resort. Our fervent prayer is the last resort. That God is the last resort. That Jesus is the last resort. But that's what this is in this passage. Jesus is the last resort for this man. He has nowhere else he can turn. He knows that his money is not going to save this boy. His power is not going to save him. He knows that the doctors that he knows of are not going to save his son because he's at the point of death. He's a young boy. He's too young to die. Why does he have this sickness? And so it says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. He made that effort and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, did Jesus come down and heal his son? No, he didn't actually. He just told him, go your way, your son lives. And so that man had to take steps of faith back to where his home was, just trusting that Jesus could do a miracle, even from far away, even when he wasn't right in his physical presence. At least Jesus wasn't in the son's physical presence. And that's what we have today, too. We have a Jesus who is in heaven, a Jesus who is not face to face with us. And yet he still can work. He can still do mighty works. We need to pray. We need to have points of death type prayers, fervent prayers. And they, as it says in James 5, will avail much. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for these passages of scripture in John chapter 4. I pray you'd help me as I continue to prepare for Sunday morning. And I pray that maybe this will lead some to come visit us in Northport, Florida on Sunday morning. Or just to listen, maybe not just to this short devotional, but also to my sermon on sermon audio when it comes up. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I pray you'd bless this message to whomever sees it or listens to it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.